life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. At Virginia College, your success is our focus. We offer career training designed to fit your today and change your tomorrow. Many of our programs can be completed in as little as 9 months. So before you know it, you could have a new career and a better life. Virginia College. Career training designed for you. Find out more at vc.edu. Learn at the speed of life.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriette. Introducing Firehouse Subs' new $4.99 choice subs. Choose from a medium smoked turkey, honey ham, or roast beef. And remember, a part of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Medium $4.99 choice subs. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, no substitutions. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
I'm live, Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network, a new night, Thursday night. So, you know what? It frees up your weekends now. You don't have to sit around waiting for me to come on Saturday with your girls looking at you saying, I want to go out and have fun. You're like, no, Michael's show's coming on. I got to listen to what he says. All right, Peter Sturzok, all right? Be suspicious of anybody whose last name only has one vowel, number one. Number two, this guy was a top dog in the FBI. Of course, if you're not following the story, Peter Sturzok is being accused of targeting Donald Trump and his campaign because of political bias and using the power of the FBI, Department of Justice, all that to go after Trump and the people that worked for him during the campaign, right? So all this got exposed because he has, 50,000 emails out there, much of them. A lot of them were to this Lisa Page, a woman, so that was his mistress. So she's a lawyer with the FBI. He was top dog in the FBI. And then, keep in mind, this guy's married and lying to his wife and cheating on his wife. And that's his character. That's what he is. This woman, she's married, lying to her husband, having a sexual relationship with this guy. So, okay. We know we're not dealing with people of high moral fiber. I will say that, right? Number two, this guy had, both of them had written emails, or text messages anyway, back and forth to each other, saying that, they're going to stop Trump. And, as Peter Sturzok says, we have an insurance policy and all this other stuff. And then, of course, he had a lot to do with that fake Russian dossier, the one that was crafted by Christopher Steele and put out there, was paid for by, Hillary Clinton, really, and the DNC. And so, it doesn't take a genius to look at the facts and see that there is suspicious activity going on. And I'm going to put that there. I'm an investigator. When I investigate anything, I start putting together the facts. Whether you're trying to talk to people and get some kind of testimony out of them in some kind of direction, or you have solid facts, if you have text, you have emails, you have messages, all kinds, you've got video maybe of stuff or whatever, you put together the facts, you try to put together the investigation and, put it together a timeline, see what happened. No investigation on this level, a level of all these felonies that looks like appear that they were committed. No investigation on this level is a waste of time. But I heard somebody, a Congress official, she is a Democrat. She says she was a police officer in all these years. And, she laid down the facts that she's there for the officers and police officers. She's there for police officers, all these officers and the FBI and all that. And they're great and they're amazing. But she's a Democrat, and anytime this guy spoke, Democrats jump out and be knight in shining armor, and they're going to say, hey, he's innocent. Because basically, he was working for people within the Democratic Party that were going after Trump, and they're still going after Trump. She even said at one point that she doesn't know any Democrats that use a political bias when dealing with others out there, Republicans or whatever, or people who support Republicans. And I'm like, can she actually say that with a straight face? She actually started to smile when she said that, blaming the Republicans for political bias, but the Democrats have no political bias. I'm like, are you serious? And then how do you expect people to take you seriously when you say something like that? But she said this investigation is a total waste of time. I am shocked that somebody that had her position as a police chief, somebody with her position who directed others, other police officers, detectives, to say that something like this is a waste of investigative time. Is she that sure that the situation is bogus? Is she, where is the information then? Where's the evidence? If you're going to say to me, this is a waste of time, it shouldn't be happening, it's all fabricated, okay, I'm a reasonable person, I'm happy to listen, show me the evidence. Where is your evidence that all this, because there's a load of evidence, a load of it, that says something happened, that things went on that shouldn't have went on. And not just improper, but I'm talking about against the law. And the law is what we're talking about. Justice is what we're talking about. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. You know what I am? I'm a concerned person on this earth. You know, for a long time, people ask me where I'm from. You know, like you travel around the world, people are like, hey, where are you from? And I say, hey, I'm from the earth, man. Hey, where are you from? Earth. I'm an earthling. Where are you from? You know, I got that from, it's just kind of a stupid, funny thing to say. This is a band called Bad Brains, right? And then I used to hang out at this club on Long Island called Sundance back in the day with the fabulous McKay brothers. And Frank McKay is now head of the Independence Party, which is interesting. He has been for quite a while. Frank and I chewed a lot of the same concrete back in the day. I was a writer for a local entertainment, well, sort of local, Long Island entertainment publication, but it went to the city in parts of Connecticut, but I don't consider it like tri-state. But Good Times Magazine, been around since the 60s. A pleasure to work for them. It was an honor to work for them. I did a lot of reviews. So Frank was a concert promoter with his brother, and we had a lot of adventures together, man. So, but okay. No investigation is a waste of time. But, so anyway, I'm hanging out behind Sundance and hanging out with this band, Bad Brains, you know. And then they're like Rastafarian type of rock and roll hardcore. I don't even know how to describe it. And I said, dude, hey, where are you from? He's like, oh, Mother Earth, man. Mother Earth, man. So, of course, I said, yeah, try to put that in your credit card application, right?
You back, man.
All right, cool. I got knocked off. So, all right. Let's get past Bad Brains and being from Mother Earth and talk about the severity of the claim of that you have a top dog in the FBI who's supposed to be the nation's top cops that you can rely on for solving crimes and for protecting people from supervillain criminals. Because they're out there. If you think there are no supervillain criminals, you're wrong. They're out there, and they're looking to do you harm. And these guys prevent a lot of that harm, you know? So good. We need them. That's what they're there for. But obviously, Peter Sturzok got fired. They said, as Congress was grilling him, he was acting like a fruitcake, you know, laughing, acting like a jerk, not taking it seriously. And just his manners, you know, mannerisms, I guess, and whatever. And it just struck me as someone just having that type of like, hey, I don't care, this is stupid, you're ridiculous, how dare you? And at one point, he starts flipping. He's like, I've got to stop here and say, I find this really, really horrible that you're questioning my authority, you're questioning my integrity, you know? And he finds it disgusting they're questioning his integrity. How about a guy that lied to his wife and cheated on his wife all that time and had sex with a woman who was also married and had no problem doing that, right? And that, to me, you know what? It goes back to your character. I don't care what people say. People can say whatever stupid thing they want to say, me included. I care about character. What you do is what you are, all right? So if you're a lying, cheating person like that, you really have no integrity because that's the core of your character. You know, you're not going to compartmentalize your lying and cheating in room A, but in room B, you have unbelievable integrity for the job. You know, that's bull crap. What you are is what you are. And the guy is a liar and a cheater. And now he's fired and he's taken off this case. Keep in mind, he was a big investigator with Mueller going after collusion, Trump collusion, which they have never found with Russia. How long has it been now since the investigation was going on altogether since Comey started? 2 years? And they haven't found not one shred of Russian collusion. They found Paul Manafort doing scumbag stuff, as financiers do. And I would challenge Robert Mueller to investigate all the fat cats on Wall Street and shake those trees, because you're going to come out with a lot of crime, a lot of felonies. They're going to start falling out, big money felonies. I want you to investigate all of them, every last one, you know, and he's not going to do that. He's only investigating people who are around Trump to try to trigger them to either lie or say something or whatever. And Trump is like a wrecking ball, man. I'll tell you this, dude, he's in the UK, right? He went there to meet with all these people. Other leaders from other countries, Merkel and all that. And you see how they are towards him? You see how they are now? You know what it reminds me of? Like, if you had this, a kindergarten with a bunch of kids running around yelling and screaming, being little bobbleheads. And here comes, like, you know, the teacher who comes in, who is this imposing character, this figure. And he kind of walk in and, you know, all the kids doing something wrong. And he kind of gives them a look and stretches his eyebrows. It's an unapproving look, is that brooding type of thing. That's it. That's what goes on. I saw all these people like melt. He's a powerful character. And all the negative stuff that's being said about Trump and all the pounding he's taking, he's just like letting it roll right off. It's like these people, it doesn't matter what they say. They're insignificant. That's kind of a good way to live your life, you know. If you're a person who doesn't take criticism well, you got to think about where that criticism's coming from. You know, there are people who will not like you if you're saying something that goes against their reason for being, right? So here's Trump pounding NATO, saying, you guys aren't coughing up the money. Some of the countries, I think only five of them are. You know, Estonia, the UK, there's only like five who are part of NATO who actually meet that. It's supposed to be 2%. Of their GDP is what they're supposed to be paying in to NATO, basically, so they can all be part of this and we can protect them. It's our money, all right? 2% of Estonia's GDP is probably not even 7-Eleven is 2% GDP, you know? I mean, you think about these countries, some of them are don't make a lot of money. Some of them don't have a huge GDP, but he wants them to pay now 4%. And Germany, who was a very rich country, who has always been behind in their payments, who said they'll get caught up to their 2% obligation by 2026. 2026? Really? So now Germany made a deal with Russia to buy all this, you know, gas, natural gas in the pipeline running into Germany. So Trump criticized that, and he said, you're talking about collusion with Russia, and here you are making them rich. Here you are, you fear them, but at the same time, you're buying their products and making them rich, but not buying our products, right? So then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, whatever it was, maybe it was just a week ago, Merkel was talking all kinds of crap about these trade deals and how dare you, Trump, and whatever. You know what? He's like, yeah, we're going to put tariffs on German automobiles. You know what? She just took a tall glass of shut the F up when he said that. She just changed her whole crappy attitude. It was like, oh, I'm sure we can work a deal. I'm sure that we don't need to have a trade war. Yeah, because who buys German cars? Mainly Americans. And then what Trump realizes, what he knows, and what all these other countries know, that America buys all this stuff from all these other people, and they barely buy anything from us. We hold the cards. In a negotiation, if you have everything, and you're dealing with someone who wants what you have, yet you don't care what they have, you are the master of that negotiation. You can tell them to take off, that it doesn't matter. And the more you have what they want, the more power you have over them. So I like the whole America first thing, because it should always be like that. We should always look out for our own people first, you know? We have unbelievable poverty in this country. We have homeless people in this country. At the same time, we're giving boatloads of money to other countries, some of which who hate us, who would sooner see us dead, some of which, like Iran, says, you know, death to America before they pray. Before they pray. Death to America. Death to Israel. That's going to come back bad on them one day. It's happening now, you know. And then there was Obama giving them billions of dollars, billions and billions and billions of dollars, and then releasing terrorists. You often wonder which side Obama was on, and he definitely didn't have America first. He put people down for trying to celebrate their country. You know, now you got a dude who's the total opposite, total polar opposite. We are no longer the doormat of the world. You have that idiot Bush in there. You had Cheney in there. You know, what did they do for 8 years? They dragged us into a situation we should not have been in. They allowed 9/11 to happen right under their noses when they could have prevented it. When all the information and evidence is in at the end of the day, we see that they could have prevented it, but instead they didn't, you know. But okay, you know, you can't go back in time, right? You can only go forward, and you can learn from the past to judge the future and try to avoid things that might be detrimental to your reason of being, whatever that is. You know, we're all different. I mean, as I get older, I find that my tastes for a lot of things have changed, you know, and then the things that I love the most are the things that I've always loved, really. The things that help me, you know, fly, basically, right? Riding the wave of life, and then not letting toxic people around me try to penetrate that reality. Instead, you know, who needs it, man? Like, I know a lot of people out there that we have heartfelt conversations about this. And I'm not saying I'm a master of any kind of relationship or nothing. I'm not. You know, I just know what I know. And I can talk from experience from my life, right? And I can talk about passions and the passions that I have for things. And we're all different. Maybe some of us share the same passion. Hey, one of my passions is, you know, martial arts, and I'm a lifelong practitioner. Since I was 7 years old, you know, basically even younger, because I used to like watch the Chinese the Chinese movies on Saturday, the martial art movies, every Saturday on TV and like do those moves and stuff when I was like, you know, 4 and 5. I remember all that. And I started learning seriously when I was 7, getting tips from anybody I could, getting lessons from anybody I could, and then, you know, picking people's brains and go through the throes of that you can never learn too much, right? Photography, another passion of mine. I have friends who are photographers. We share the same passion. Sometimes we don't even like taking pictures of the same stuff. You know, I'm more into landscapes. I'm not as much into people. I don't like people. I want to take pictures of them. I do it. You know what? If someone wants to pay me to do a portrait for them, I'm happy to do that. You know, that's fun. If you're covering an event or you're hanging out with people, a lot of fun, you know. But I'm talking about art photography specifically. I'm more into wildlife and landscapes and that type of thing, or things that don't include people necessarily. But it doesn't matter because I'm hitting that trigger. Somebody else is hitting that trigger. We have that in common, that we enjoy expressing ourselves through photography, right? So your reason for being, you need to figure that out. A lot of people are lost. They don't even know what the hell they are, and they don't even know what they are. And that's my, when I talk to people, that's what I say to them. What are you? What do you do? What do you like to do? What do you want to do? Where do you see yourself doing? You know? And what aren't you? That's the bigger question. What aren't you? You got to figure out what you're not. You know, a lot of times you've grown up, your parents put certain stuff in your mind. They want you to be, they want you to be how, what they see you as, which is nice. It's good for that, right? But then you have to let kids grow and you have to let them follow their own passion. You have to observe those passions and help them along with those passions even, right? That's parenting right there. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that ended up doing stuff they didn't want to, not their passion. Maybe they find it later on in life. And I don't think it really matters. I mean, sure, if you live your entire life in a state of bliss, that's pretty good. I shoot for content, me personally, because you could be up, you could be down. Sometimes I like being down. Sometimes I like being up. You know, so it's like that. I think that in our world of dust, and we need to discover all the things about ourselves that make us happy and the things that make us sad and stay away from those things, you got to figure out your reason for being. Imagine if you didn't need to work, you know? And I'm not talking about being like a gold digger, like those chicks that hunt down billionaires, you know, or those dudes that look for rich women. I'm talking about you live in a society where your passion, what you love to do, is basically your job, is basically not even a job, but something that you contribute to your community. So I have friends who love to work with their hands, carpentry, drilling, hammering. They love it. They love to make the noise. They love the smell of it. You know, I mean, there's something to that. You know, when you're at a build site and then the sights and the sounds and the smells, you know, they love it. So I could see that. And I could see that that's their passion. And these dudes will do that for their work. And on weekends, they're always remodeling their own homes, the homes of their family or whatever, or doing good work in the community, donating their time to help people. You see? So if you lived in truly a utopian world, not necessarily a socialist world, you can't call it socialism. Socialism is a dirty word, you know, but I'm saying that you live in a society where, you know, the barter and trade, the problem with socialism, look at Venezuela, you get people that are out there that will sit on their ass and do nothing and take advantage of others. Take, not give, right? That's my fear for socialism. And we've seen that in Venezuela, and we've seen their whole society fell apart. Maybe Mexico is going to happen too. They just elected a new leader. This guy is very far to the left. He is not with the establishment, though, which is interesting because we're seeing this throughout the world. And Mexico has a huge problem with drug gangs, their security, and also, you know, the people who are crossing the border who aren't Mexican, who are trying to cross the border from other countries. That's their security problem because they're traipsing through their country. So their security is our security, which is why I think that we need to help Mexico. And when I say help them, I mean search and destroy all those cartels and get rid of them. And pretty simple. It's a war, right? Anyway, you know, they're killing politicians and police officers and women and children and all that. Mexico is one of the most violent places in the world, more violent than some of the places that have ongoing wars. So, yeah, think about that. But in a utopian society, there is a village in India where people live. There's no money that changes hands. If you live there, you have to have some kind of skill that, you know, can help others. And then you donate that time. And then you have everything that you need, food, whatever, clothing, people make all this stuff. And, you know, if I could get away with it, I'd live in a tent wearing a loincloth, you know, having people dance for me. If I had it my way. But that's not quite reality for me. And I don't live in a tent, a little sturdier than that. You would think that at that rate, you know what you're doing every day. You have your passion. If you're working your job as your passion, it's not work, is it? Then you have other free time to create, to do things, to evolve, to go further. You know, so mankind really is trapped in a box. It's a financial box. And that even doesn't matter if it's a communist country. You think people in China aren't money motivated? Come on, man. Why do you think there's so many millionaires in China? You know, why do you think that they have so much trade and commerce and money floating around? You think they just pile it into the communist government? You know, of course there's wealthy people in China, you know? And they all pay into the communist government. It's like the mafia, right? That you go and steal, and then you pay tribute to the guy upstairs. Not God, you know? Yeah, the Chinese guy, Xi Jinping, you pay tribute to the communist government. And they have the last say in anything that you do. You can lie, cheat, steal, and kill. You can kill people and sell their organs. They don't care as long as you kick the money upstairs. It's like a huge version of the mafia, right? Maybe a little bit more freedoms with the mob, you know, than China. But these things exist. And it motivates people. So, you know what? If mankind is trapped in that box and no one's looking to let people out of the box, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. It's just the population keeps growing and growing and growing. There's no common sense. America is completely divided, even though Donald Trump right now is as popular as Barack Obama was, a little bit more, a couple percentage points more popular than Barack Obama. At the same stage of his presidency. So the thing is about the libs, man. I'll tell you this. I'm gonna confess something to you guys that is an ugly truth about Michael Angley. Something about me that's just nasty, ugly. All right, you listen. I have grown this fondness when I see liberals melt down and their veins popping out of their heads and they're frothing at the mouth and like flipping out. I love that. I love it. I can't get enough of it. As a matter of fact, I find myself watching MSNBC and CNN every time Trump does something really outrageously cool or in their face, especially the Supreme Court. You know, right after he announced his Supreme Court pick, I tuned into Rachel Maddow. I had to hear what she had to say. And I didn't have to hear it. I was enjoying it. And even though it's fake outrage, come on, it's Rachel Maddow. She needs to play to her base. Her base are, they're extreme liberals. She needs to yell at those people and tell them that I'm outraged and I'm blah, blah, blah. I just like it. I like it. I love it. As a matter of fact, I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. You know? But so that's what I, that's my confession for this evening, is that I love liberal outrage. And it's real. You know what I mean? You remember that when Hillary lost the election? Not the last time. I mean, not the time before that, or the time before that. But this last time when Hillary lost the election, right? By the way, she's talking about running in 2020, by the way. And the Democrats talking about putting Maxine Waters out there in 2020 to run for president. And I hope and pray that they do. I really do. I want them to. The Democrats have beat the piss out of each other. They're all falling apart. If you look what's going on here in New York between Cuomo's holding on to his Democratic spot, but you've got that twit from Sex and the City. She's running against him. That woman's out there. She's out there. I mean, talk about extreme. And she got backing up de Blasio, who's mayor of New York City. So, and if you look at New York City, with people pissing in the streets and the crimes increasing and all the terrible things that are happening, you can see that part of what it is. But you have within, like Cortez, when she won, she won against a guy that was in there, I think, 13 terms. And he's done nothing for that part of the city, for the Bronx. She wins. Now they're putting all the weight of the world on her shoulders, you know, and then trying to burn her out. And the guy said, oh, I support her and all that. Now he's coming out running as a third-party candidate against her. Isn't that funny? You know why? Because they're all a bunch of liars and cutthroats and all that. All that. And the Democrats are fighting each other. They're falling apart. Maxine Waters calling for violence and going after Trump supporters. You know, calling for violence. A senator. You got Congress people. You have Democrats calling for violence. She's not the only one. She's a congresswoman calling for violence. You got Cory Booker making the same, echoing the same sentiment. All right. So you have these people calling for violence. And then you get Senator Chuck Schumer, the big Democrat senator from New York, right? Big muckety muck. He comes out and says, in a direct response to Maxine, anti-vaccine, who was voted most corrupt politician several years in a row for bailing out her family's bank. She presides over one of the crummiest areas in America where there's abject poverty and feces on the streets and needles everywhere and whatever. But she lives in a multi-million dollar home in a nice area. Maxine Waters. Chuck Schumer comes out and says it's un-American to call for violence against somebody that you oppose in one party. Wow. Chuck Schumer said that. And I agree with him. I agreed with Chuck Schumer. You know what? I think Satan is skating to work. I really do, man. Because everything's topsy-turvy. Hell had done frozen over. And I'm agreeing with Chuck Schumer. Then Waters comes out saying, he's just mouthpiece, the big one in the Democratic Party. He. So then you know what happened after that? She was going to come out and, you know, she had a couple of places that she was going to do, you know, do fundraisers and that type of thing. But people threatened violence against her. And then she's like, y'all better shoot straight. Ooh, she's like straight pulled out some ghetto. Y'all better shoot straight. You're going to shoot at me. And this is the voice of the Democratic Party. This is the voice. I know. Trump's the voice of the Republican Party. But I think the guy actually cares. And he's a pig. Yeah, of course. Of course he is. But pigs can be right. You know what I mean? I'm not going to judge him on his piggery. If you want to pork some, if the pig wanted to pork some Boil Star 15 years ago, I'm not going to judge him on that. You know, if he lied to his wife or whatever, yeah. That also goes for his integrity. I think that we can look at that too. I'm not into liars like Peter Sturzok, who lied and lied and lied again, lied to his wife or whatever. It shows what kind of person he is. Is Trump my first choice as president? No! But there's this mechanical thing inside of Donald Trump that he's this workaholic and he's all about making the deal. He's in his glory because he's not just making real estate deals here and there and buying a golf course and fixing it up. This guy is making deals on the highest level. And he's doing a good job of it. The economy is banging. Do you know we added 600,000 workers to the workplace in June? 600,000. I'm not talking about jobs created. In June, there was like 235,000 jobs, something like that, created, right? It's not what I'm, and that's great because we've been consistent in that 250,000 range every month. When Obama took over, we lost millions of jobs. When Bush was in there at the end, millions, right? People were laying off, big numbers. Okay. We added 600,000 people. So now, and those people were out of work for years. Those people had been depressed. They interviewed a lot of people saying, you know, the strong job market, high pay, they're going back to work. That's incredible. Now there's more jobs in the United States than we have people for. And you can thank Donald Trump for that and his policies. You know who takes the credit? Barack Obama. I did it. Something that I did. I set this in motion. It's a funny guy, man. He's not willing to you got to like listen to what people say. He's not willing to take any credit for all the negative stuff. He's only willing to take credit for positive things. And then he's going to say he did this. You know, incredible, right? Like Peter Sturzok and those text messages. First, he said right there to Congress today, I don't remember that text message, you know, the one that said, you know, don't worry, we'll stop Trump, you know, that type of thing. I don't remember that. And then really, and then he, right after he said, I don't remember that, he went into this explanation of the context of the text messages and how people took it the wrong way. Because then he was like, well, I was talking about we, America, were going to stop Trump, not me. We, America. And then the whole comment about the insurance policy. And also the fact that he had all these emails are out in the open. He's on Mueller's investigative team going after Trump and Trump collusion with Russia and all the stuff they allege. And he said at no point did Mueller ask him anything about these text messages, nothing. But yet Mueller fired him from the investigation. He said that because it was on an assumption and not on any facts. So you know what? People that are willing to put their politics first and you second, they're dangerous people. And they don't belong in any kind of position of power, right? No matter who they are. Do I fear Donald Trump? No. I think that this is exactly the answer that we needed to the question of Barack Obama. When Barack Obama was in there, and I saw what he was up to just the first couple months of his administration after he had gone in the first time, right? It wasn't long before all these things were being shoved down people's throats. And people made to deal with all this nonsense, this hardcore politically correct liberalism that people didn't want for themselves. People think we're made be made to accept things, right? That you don't want to accept. Not positive, not good things either, you know. And then he made us the doormat of the entire world, literally bowing down to other leaders, right? Not being strong, being weaker than baby poop, weaker than baby poop. Got it? I said way back then that because of this, in the future, when the Republicans take office again, there's going to be somebody in there that's going to be such a knee-jerk reaction and go back to the other extreme, right? Which isn't good either, you know. I don't believe in living within extremes. So then it's all the way liberal one day, next day, all the way conservative. Now, I don't consider Donald Trump a true conservative. I don't think that Donald Trump is a conservative, as a matter of fact. I think he's actually a Democrat. And he's, you know, he's got this party. They backed him. He got to be president. He played the laws of averages. But yet 87% of the Republican Party right now support him because they're seeing the good work that he's done. Now we're headed into the midterms. And listen, this is July. You know, this is July 12th. We're heading into the midterms. Some people are starting to vote already. Democrats want to take some seats. You know, under Barack Obama, the Democrats lost over 1,400 seats across the country in all kinds of different offices. 1,400. Most governors in this country are Republican. They just came out with a list of the worst-run cities in the United States. They're all Democrat-run. So all this stuff, all these are statistics, right? This is evidence that you can use to say, well, if you're going to make an educated decision and who's going to run your government and who's going to be the most thing, I'll tell you, man, I pissed people off last week in the world of social media, which isn't hard to do, but it's become my hobby. And I throw information out there to profile. You know what I mean? So I know who I'm dealing with. I know that there's some little liberals hiding in the hills of my friends list. And I share stuff worldwide, not just with friends or whatever. So I put stuff out there. And then I was like, man, Democrats. And I made a meme with Abraham Lincoln. Because he was the first Republican president, right? I said, man, Democrats haven't been this bad since the Republicans took away their slaves. And, oh, man. I heard from some libs like, oh, my God, it's awful. How dare you say that? That's right. You freaks. Who do you think the KKK was when they started? They were all Democrats. It was a Democratic organization. They were Democrats, not Republicans. It's funny how these Democrats talk trash about being racist and who's racist and Trump's a racist and whatever. The only racists that I see are the people in the Democratic Party that preside over these areas that are predominantly Black and Spanish, and they've never done anything for the people living there. Cory Booker, really? Maxine Waters, oh, she has millions of bucks for herself. How about Nancy Pelosi? Nancy Pelosi, all those poor illegal aliens. Yeah, they're more important than the people who live in this country, right, Nancy Pelosi? And then what about the people who came to this country from other countries, the immigrants that came here who are here legally, who get sworn in, and they're Americans now? What about undermining everything they've done to come here by letting people cross the border illegally and then start counting their heads, right? Nancy Pelosi, you know, she owns three mansions and beach house and all this other stuff. She's worth well over $100 million. Is Nancy Pelosi offering her mansions to Syrian refugees or illegal aliens or any of that? No. In fact, how about this, you people out there in the world? How many liberals, and I'm going to say liberals as the American version, all right? PC, extremist, bleeding heart, tree-hugging freaks. Because in Australia, liberals is a completely different thing. Liberals pretty conservative in Australia. So it goes by your country. Right? We have a big audience in Australia. So I don't want you guys getting hopping mad at me. Bad. So how many liberals, how many do you know that actually do things for other people, that actually give to causes or give of themselves or really volunteer or do anything for anybody. I don't know too many. I know the ones who were, how about this? The ones that I know who are friends of mine, some of them I've been friends with since kindergarten, who will be out there putting on their pink pussy hat and bitching and screaming about everything in the world. And I forgive them for their slavehood, because they're receiving orders from the master. They're not thinking for themselves. They're not thinking on their own. You know, they're just being controlled and repeating what other people are saying. But out of all these people who were the big mouths, I mean the ones who were always spouting off some crap, all the ones that I know don't do anything for anybody else. They don't donate money. In fact, a lot of them don't even have a job or a good job or whatever, or they're underemployed on purpose because they're doing something that they think is more important than working and paying for their families instead of sitting on government assistance or collecting money in one of those ways. I want you to go to your friends list and look at the biggest mouths. The biggest mouths. Mainly a lot of the biggest mouths are people that sit home all day and they got no life. They don't go anywhere, do anything. They're on some kind of thing. But I want you to go through your list and I want you to say, hey, you know, what do you do for people? What have you done for anybody? You volunteer. Someone asked me the other day, what do you do for people, man? And me? First of all, I don't have to justify myself to anyone. That's usually my answer if someone tries to get in my face. But, the people that know me and love me know exactly what I do on a daily basis. And it's not even about, you know, there's causes I support. The Red Cross, SPCA, ASPCA, you know. I mean, the Children's Dream Factory, which I volunteered for many years in person. And then there's other things that I do just from time to time, you know, just to make the world a little better place, help people out. You know, sometimes it's just people that are in your path. They're not even your friends, you know. Maybe someone needs a helping hand with something or other, whatever, you know. I think it's part of human nature to want to be helpful and want to have that kind of level of kindness. But the liberals, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not seeing what they do. I know one. She'd been married a bunch of times. You know, she had a kid with every dude, always married. Women practice hypergamy. They're always looking for something better, always looking to swing up, monkey branch up to a higher level and marry up, you know. They want to have a bigger house, a nicer car, a bigger bank account. And not every woman is like that. They're actually called the Nawals, the ones who aren't like that. Which stands for not all women are like that. But Nawals is kind of like a unicorn. You know what I mean? Like a magical unicorn with magic coming out of its ass, with rainbows coming out of its ass, you know, like that. You're not going to see one. It don't exist. So I know someone so liberal, went to the pink pussy hat thing and marched and all that. And, you know, she's my age. She's in her 50s. I'm 51. She may be a little older. And then three kids, three different dudes. I know she says, I'm about getting $5,000-$6,000 a month per kid for child support and all that. Got the big house, got the alimony on top of that, plus half everything. Living large, just from what she created with her vagina. And I'll say it just like that. That's exactly how it went, right? So it's just when I listen to people like that talk, you know, and I see their activity and what they give and what they don't give and whatever, it's all about them. Not about anybody else, all about them. So, you know, and then Trump is going to have this new Supreme Court. You pick Kavanaugh, right? I mean, this guy, pretty stand-up guy, has got a lot of experience. He's somebody very interested about Hillary Clinton taking bribes. That's pretty interesting. That was worth a belly laugh, ha-ha. But it brought up the issue of abortion. And before they even made the pick, the Democrats are crying about losing abortion. And then you have that so-called comedian Wolf. She's on Netflix, A Salute to Abortion. How disgusting and ugly and disrespectful. And I was having this conversation with one of my liberal buds the other day and said, well, you know, you can't take away women's right to an abortion. It's not a baby. It's not alive yet. I'm like, really? I'm like, how about this? I'll give you my take on it. If you have an abortion, you are denying that life. I'm like, is that right? And the person was like, well, yeah. So I said, that in essence is the argument, that women have a duty and an honor and such a privilege too. Oh, there's so much attached, but it goes even deeper than that. If you have the ability to carry that life and create, then it's your duty to not try to end those lives for no reason. And I've known people that went and got abortion practically as birth control. Well, if I get pregnant, I'll just get an abortion. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, but it does matter. You're denying someone their life, their happiness, their sadness, their memories, their family, maybe their children, their grandchildren, whatever they decide to do in the world, maybe their contribution to the world. You know, and it gets very dicey. And then all of a sudden you say these women are the gatekeeper. And then they're able to terminate, you know, even the male who helped create the baby has no say in that, you know, to terminate that life. You're terminating a life. You are killing something that would have normally lived unless there was some other medical condition or some kind of thing that happened. It's a choice to stop something from living, you know? So that's my problem with the entire thing. And then if you start creating laws against abortion, it's a whole huge gray area. And then what do you do? How do you stop people from doing that or make them more accountable for the things that they're doing? You know, I don't foresee putting women in jail for having abortions, right? And then they'll just travel to other countries like they used to back in the day to try to get an abortion. And I'll share a story with you real quick. I'm about to end my show. My father was trying to get my mom to have an abortion with me. So I guess I feel the subject is kind of tender, you know? And he actually flew her to Mexico, because this is 1960s. He flew her to Mexico to get me aborted. They wouldn't do it because they said she was too pale. And, you know, because she had blonde hair, she's real thin. She was a model for everyone, believe it or not. And then he flew her to Puerto Rico to get an abortion. And again, they wouldn't do it. So for some reason, out of the two times where I could have been aborted, it didn't happen. If it was legal, she probably would have gotten the abortion here in the United States. You'll find somebody, some doctor to go and do it, you know? And it just makes you think. It makes you think. And my contributions to the world, anything that I've done, or even making someone laugh once in a while, man, how about that? Yeah? Anything that you can do to make the world a better place. So I think that there's a lot to that. If they make a, you know, I mean, they could overturn Roe versus Wade. They've overturned other decisions. But I'm happy, actually, that things are being set up the way they are. And that we're not going to be stuck the next X amount of years with a bunch of liberals on the Supreme Court that are happy to knock down people's rights. You know what I mean? Because they think politically for themselves in that decision. They're not interpreting the law from the Constitution. Justice Ginsburg, who is a Democrat, said she doesn't use the Constitution to interpret any kind of law. She uses her own opinion. Wow. So I'll leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network. Tune into this show every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. I will see you guys next week or see you on Discovery Paranormal on Tuesday. I'm going to be talking about neutrinos. So See you then. United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 11.5 New Orleans, 14.7 and Pax Christiana.
Think you're too busy to train for a new career? Virginia College offers career training designed for you. The family provider, the busy mom, the time crunched, the double shift worker. Whoever you are, no matter how busy you are, if you want a new career, a better life, we can help make it work. With work, with family, with life. Get started today at Virginia College. Visit vc.edu. Learn at the speed of life.